Let us ask the Lord help. Our gracious, loving, and wonderful Lord, we thank you for your amazing love and grace. We are thankful and humbled by the thoughts that we have before us this day of your wonderful grace that brought you down to live among us and to have your body to take a form of a man and to live among us in that wonderful years. We thank you for your grace that saved us, that grace that teaching us, and the grace also that give us the hope looking upwards for you to come from heaven. We thank you for our gathering. We thank you for the word that was shared. We pray that it will have its rightful place in our lives. We pray that it will be fruitful. We pray that we will honor you and be admiring you. We'll be obeying all your word in the public and in secret. We pray for your word even this afternoon that you speak to our hearts. Pray giving you thanks. Amen. I would like to share two portions. First, Luke 14. I would like to read those wonderful verses that was mentioned before us this afternoon to start the thought about the Lord's coming. I hope not to take long, but hopefully another brother or more will follow. Those four first verses in John 14. As I'm reading them, I want to think about how many times the Lord referred to his disciples. He is concerned with them before going to the cross. He is thinking about them. He is devoting himself for them. He is concerned about their condition of their heart. So as I'm reading those four verses, I want you to see how many times the Lord is speaking about them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Did anybody count how many times? How many times the Lord is speaking and directing his word to them? You. I counted them, maybe I'm wrong, 9 times. 9 times in 4 verses, the Lord is concerning and talking and is occupying himself with their condition. He is going to the cross, going to die and give himself for them. But in the same time, he is very occupied with how their hearts to be in connection with his second coming. The Lord wants them to be in that condition as he going to leave this earth and be in heaven for such long time. But he wants them, as he is leaving them, to know how much he is caring, how much he is occupied with them, how much he is concerned about all what they are in. 9 times. He referred to them. But I'm going to read the same verses one more time. But this time we'll focus about how many times he referred to himself in those verses. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. How many times he referred to himself? 9. So the same amount of times he spoke about them, he is concerning about them, he is also telling them, I want you to be thinking about me. As I am thinking about you all the time, I am loving you to the point I'm going to the cross. I'm also bringing to your attention, to your hearts, not to be troubled. Think of me. The same way I am loving you, I want you to love me, to be occupied with me, to have your affection set on me. The two disciples to Emmaus were going their way from Jerusalem to their place. And how was the condition of their heart? Were sad, were troubled, they were confused. But what was the condition of their face? They were sad, right? Showing in them. And during this day, as the Lord brings to our attention before us, the truth of His second coming, that He will be coming, maybe as we talk right now, maybe in this meeting, or maybe at the end of the day, He is coming again. How much this should affect us, and how much this should cheer us up, and should encourage our hearts, and should show in our face, the Lord is coming. I think the things of this earth, and the occupation of what's going on in our lives, is have more affection, have more influence on us, more than what the Lord having before us in this day. So the Lord is encouraging them not to be troubled. I want you to think of me. I want you to be encouraged by thinking of who I am in glory and how I will be coming soon to take you to be with me. I think this is a thought that probably the Lord wants to have us in this day. Not to be troubled. Not to be discouraged. Knowing that the Lord is coming any moment should encourage us, should help us to continue on in our journey. But to follow up this thought with another thought, what is the condition of those who should be waiting for the Lord? Let us turn to Luke 12 and see what the Lord is saying to the disciples about His soon coming. Luke 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. When he will return from the wedding, then when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, what is the condition? Will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. This is our condition that we are expecting, we are anticipating, we are hoping, we thinking that the Lord might come any second. And based on that truth, based on that hope, that we are waiting for the Lord Jesus to come any moment, this should stir our emotions and our hearts to be encouraged, but also our life to be a testimony for Him. We should be shining with those good deeds that we are speaking about in Titus. That should be our hands busy in His ministry and His work. But just to be also brief, the Lord in this chapter warns His disciples from four things can distract the heart from being in the condition of they are waiting for Him to come. The first one we read about in first verse of the chapter. Luke 12 verse 1, He told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The first warning or the first enemy that can take away our hope from the Master to come is being concerned of what the people around us would say about us. What the Lord is meaning by hypocrisy is to showing something that is not true in my life. So what is the purpose of doing that? I want to show myself. I want to people to see me in a way that is different than who I am in myself, to get the attention and the approval and the praise of others. This is what the people or Pharisees were doing. They were showing in Matthew 6 or 5, the Lord telling them, don't do like the Pharisees who will pray standing in the corners for people to see them. So the first thing he is warning them from, or the leaven of the Pharisees, is hypocrisy, is I am concerned with the praise of people. I want to get the acknowledgement. I am the best person in that. I am the best looking. I am the most eloquent. I am the most gifted. I am the richest, and so on. I am comparing myself for others. I want to be ahead. This could distract my heart from waiting for my master. Second warning, verse 4. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Being concerned of what people can do to me. I am afraid of their persecution. I'm afraid of their comments. I'm afraid that they will not like me anymore. So based on that, I try to do things that please people, or I am afraid of them that they can persecute me. So I stop doing what's supposed to be done right. Let us, an example of that is Daniel and his friends. What you are doing will put you to be put into the furnace of fire. Are you not afraid? You're not scared? You don't care? They have their hearts set to the right position and the right person. They are pleasing God. So even if it leads to go for persecution or difficulties, they are welcoming that. They told the king, we don't need to answer you. Number 3, verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. What is covetousness? That somebody is not satisfied with what he has and he wants more. So in the first two warnings, he is concerned about people. The second two warnings, or number 3 and 4, he is concerned about possessions. So here he is telling them that when the person is not satisfied with his possessions and he is want more, he covets what people has, that affects the heart. He has his heart on the wrong things. One of the examples in the Old Testament, this king Ahab, he had a lot of possessions, but he coveted the vineyard of another person. And he could not enjoy life because of that. What kind of condition of heart that the person has a lot, but he is not satisfied and he wants more. And he cannot enjoy what he has because he is looking and occupied with this more thing that he doesn't have. This is what's called covetousness. The heart is full and is not full. He wants more and more and more. It's like this drinking of water and it's not satisfied. The fourth warning, verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. The fourth warning is the worrying or the being anxious of what I don't have. How can I pay that bill? How can I reach that commitment, or how gonna fulfill that need? And our minds is kind of going around on those things. This can affect and hinder my heart from waiting for my master. For the first two, people. The second two are things. The first two, neither pleasing people or afraid from their persecution. The second two, when I have and I want more, is wrong. And then when I don't have and I'm worrying about tomorrow, is also wrong. I'm not saying to be thinking about the needs is wrong. But the Lord is saying, He doesn't say, don't think about your needs, but he says, do not be anxious of what you eat or what you drink. So may the Lord help us as we consider the Lord Jesus in his soon coming, the one that loved us, the one he is occupying himself with us, the one that he is giving us the hope of his coming, his person. He wants us to think of him as the bride and the bridegroom. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. This is the condition that we should be on all the time. May the Lord help us not to have anything that can distract us, whether having it or don't have it, whether people or possessions. May the Lord help us to be in careful and watching our hearts to be ready that the Lord might come in any second for his glory. Amen.